Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And happy Monday to you. Happy upcoming Thanksgiving to those of you in the United States, which I suspect is a sizable percentage.
Yes,
Thanksgiving, Turkey Day is coming up. Hope you have your plans squared away, whatever they may be.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're doing huge things with families or hanging out by yourself or whatever your plans are, hope it's what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Hopefully, like I said, Thanksgiving plans are going well for everyone. But yes, this is Haunt Weekly, episode number 208, as we're doing the news. And the reason for that is because, of course, this is an episode divisible by four.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who don't know or have just now started listening to this podcast, that's the reason.
Yep.
Every fourth episode, we cover the past month's news, and we are doing that now. I'm telling Ellie to turn down the TV because it's a little bit loud a bit. All right. Done. Anyways, where were we? Oh, yes. You can find us at HauntWeekly.com, HauntWeekly on Twitter, HauntWeekly on Facebook, YouTube.com/HauntWeekly is our YouTube channel. All previous episodes are available there for quick streaming. Also find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And we have a lot to go over this week. We got some news related to our haunt.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Got a little bit of news there. We have a lot of news because we catch the end of the season with this. The way this episode fell, it kind of catches the last part of haunt season, so we got a few things there.
Right.
I've got to say, though, kudos on what appears to have been a very safe haunt season.
Yeah, very few of the horrible news stories that we sometimes get around this time of year have surfaced.
Yes, usually by this time of year, we have stories of haunts doing grotesque promotions.
Yeah.
Sexual assault. We had a few of those last time.
Right. I was going to say, last month was much worse than this month.
But we also had no reports of serious injuries.
No.
And so on and so forth. So, yeah, guys, it looks like, judging from the news coverage at least, don't know if you just, like, buried the bodies better this year. But yeah. It seems like you had a much better season in terms of, like, I don't know, not getting tons of negative publicity for hurting people or offending people.
Right.
Good job, team.
Yes.
Good job, everyone. You made my job harder assembling the notes, but you made it easier in terms of being a haunter and having to tell my friends that I'm one.
Right, exactly.
Well, first thing is first, though, we have conference reminders. It's an even week. That means I begin.
Mm-hmm.
So, coming up December 9th in Kissimmee, Florida, it's the Seasonal Attraction Leadership Symposium 2019 at the Gaylord Palms. It's put on by the Haunted Attractions Network. Decent chance you are listening to us through them. There will be four keynotes, including discussions afterward, a private viewing of Christmas by Gaylord Palms. HauntedAttractionNetwork.com is the site to go check out the details. Leadership-Symposium.org for those that are wanting to turn around a losing Scrabble hand. That is the place to go to get the direct information about this conference.
Yeah. Okay. Next, December 13th, we have the Lost Souls Haunted Bus Tour, the Xmas Edition.
Xmas.
It's in Chicago, Illinois. They will be visiting Massacre Haunted House before opening with a free Christmas drink.
Ooh.
And Midnight Terror with a free holiday meal. You get a whole meal.
And you get a drink and a meal and two haunts.
For $75.
With transportation and entertainment. My God.
Yeah. LostSoulsChicago.com for more info on that.
I need to tell Japes he should stop just giving this away. It's offensively cheap. Oh, man. It's offensively inexpensive. It's too good of a deal. Literally, it's too good. Okay, coming up January 17th through the 19th, right here in New Orleans, Louisiana, it's HauntCon along with Halloween and Party Expo at the Ernest Memorial Convention Center. We'll be featuring us.
Yes.
We are doing an event the 17th here at our haunt considering we were forced to close this year, something we're getting into in a minute. This will be actually our opening in many ways.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. We will also be speaking. We both have a talk on basic scare tactics. I may have a second talk dealing with intellectual property and haunting.
Right.
HauntCon.com for more details. If you are coming to the event at our place, please go to Haunt Weekly on Facebook. We have an event set up there. I'm going to reshare it so that it's more toward the top.
Yeah.
And RSVP, let us know you are going. So that way we can calculate how much food to buy, how much transportation we need to arrange, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And I'm trying to see exactly how many of you have. 11 people are going minus the two of us.
Yeah.
So,
I think we'll get about 10, and that's actually kind of sort of the perfect size.
It is. And we have confirmed that our local New Orleanian crawfish master is on the case.
Yes.
And
so we are hoping there's going to be a lot of great food here.
Yeah.
I'm going to share this far and wide a little bit later to get more people to come, maybe get a few more people. But yeah, we are running the limit of what we can do here.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not a big haunt, guys.
No. Okay. February 21st through the 23rd, it's HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California. They will be at the Fairplex touring Asylum Haunted House, lights on and off, and features a costume ball. HauntX.com for more info on that.
That sounds awesome. And finally this week, May 15th through the 17th in Mansfield, Ohio, at the Ohio State Reformatory, it's Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention, features a ghost hunt, a costume party, and haunted house tours. Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention.com for more information.
Yay.
Not a lot of deets known about that one yet, but we're ways out from that. We're here sitting here recording in November talking about a May one, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So, we said we had an update on our haunt. And we do. You know, I wrote in the notes basically just the word fuck repeatedly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
No.
Even if that is the sentiment.
Yeah. Just take him saying that in your mind and repeat it
over
times.
And over and over again. You basically got how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those who've been following what's been going on with our haunt might remember that we had to close this year due to road work.
Right.
Long story short, they're doing major street repairs in our neighborhood, including our direct street.
Yep.
And we could not guarantee we would have road access when we opened. The city could not guarantee it. Nobody could promise us that.
Yeah.
So, we closed. Now, Halloween night and the night weekend before came around, and we did actually have a functioning street, because what they had done is the other side of Vivian Court they had finished up, mm-hmm. which they had not done for like 4 months or 3 or 4 months at that time.
At least a couple, yeah.
2 to 3 months or at least at that time. They'd finished it up like the days before we would have had to open.
Yeah, and they finished it up. Basically opening night.
Yeah. I think they literally finished up either that Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
And did not start our side, even though they were supposed to.
Yeah.
Well, they have now started our side in earnest.
Yes.
As we are recording this in our front bedroom, the front guest bedroom of our house, we are sitting probably about 25 to 30 feet away from a torn up street.
Yeah, and
it's right about that way.
Yes, I'm sure that they can see you
pointing.
See me pointing
behind you. Yes, yeah. If you go right past Crystal's head, there's torn up road right through that wall there.
Yeah.
Now they have not blocked our driveway yet.
That'll happen tomorrow.
That will be tomorrow.
Well, it'll be probably as you're listening to this, it'll already have happened.
Yeah. By the time this goes out, it will probably have happened. Because they have been tearing up about 4 houses worth per day, and they are literally next door to us right now.
Yeah.
They have not torn up our street, and they've not torn up the street. They've torn up the yard of the house next to us.
Right.
But not their driveway, because their driveway is right next to where we are.
Yeah.
Driveway's on our side. So, yeah. Long story short, it'll be tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing about it, and here's why it's going to take a minute to get through this, and why it's relevant. We knew before we started, we had some additional supplies we had to get in order to open for HauntCon.
Yeah.
We have some panels that need to be reskinned and repainted. We have a couple of props that need to be finished.
Yeah.
And the main thing we needed was plywood.
Yeah.
We had bought most of the 2x4s. We'd bought most of the fence board and other things we need. We bought most of the supplies broadly.
Right.
In previous runs. But we had not bought the plywood. We put that off every year because currently we do not own a truck. And so we rent a truck to get the wood.
And we want to make sure we know exactly how much we're going to need. And buy a sheet or two extra just to make sure that we've covered all our bases.
It's a big, exhausting run when we do it.
Yeah.
It's basically what it is. So, what we had to do on... What the plan was we were going to work over the Thanksgiving weekend because we're stuck here anyway. Ellie's work basically means we can't go anywhere.
Right.
Especially this year when Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and a month end all fall together.
Right.
I don't know how she's going to survive this.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in if she lives. But long story short, she is working on it all. But yeah, so we were planning on doing that. And part of the plan was possibly on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, because you have it off.
Right.
We were going to make a Home Depot run or a Lowe's run or whatever and get the wood we needed.
Yep.
That had to be moved up.
Yeah.
To Friday.
Urgently.
Now, luckily, you had the day off due to a strange set of circumstances we won't get into.
Right.
But in having it off, we went from having a day where you could prepare for your headdress show.
Right.
And get ready for that, and basically us moving into that, we instead had to spend nearly the entire day getting wood and other supplies and moving them to the house.
Exactly.
All the while dodging construction equipment and so on and so forth while delivering wood in an unfamiliar truck.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. But
because when we got back, our driveway was blocked by the construction equipment.
Now, I want to read at least a significant portion of the letter they left in our mailbox.
Yeah, and we did share this online.
Yeah, we shared it online. It's been shared to Haunt Weekly.
Yeah.
It's been shared to the Bernie Baxter page. But I want to read it here, too, in case you didn't see it on the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Because every piece of information in this has proven to be false.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I'm holding a sheet of lies, as far as I'm
Pretty
concerned.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, are we ready?
Yes.
Roadwork, New Orleans, roadworknola.gov. We'll be working on your block next week as part of the $7 million West Bank Group A road repair project. All right, stop you right there, letter. Next week must mean something very different to you and to me.
Yeah.
Next week means a week from today.
Yes.
If I, you know what I mean? It means the next week.
Right. Like they dropped this in our box.
7:50, 7:40, I think it was, Monday morning.
Right.
And we know that would be because Monday, we have the ring recording.
Yes, that would be Monday the 18th.
Yeah, Monday the 18th. They were there the same day.
Yep.
Starting the tear out at the other end.
Yes.
Please note that during this time, there may be large trucks and heavy equipment hauling materials in your area. No shit. All right.
Yeah.
Public safety is our top priority. Residents and commuters are reminded to use caution when driving, bicycling, or walking near the construction site.
Yeah.
So it's either...
Don't be a dumbass.
It's either misinformation or stupidly obvious.
Yeah.
One or the other. You also may temporarily lose access to parking.
Hmm.
During this time, we ask that residents adhere to no parking in the streets. Vehicles parked in these zones will be ticketed and towed. Additional notice will be given to residents prior to work impacting driveway access. No, it will not.
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
No. And our neighbor didn't even get this letter.
No. Yeah, this letter is one more than what our next door neighbor got.
Mm-hmm.
You may also... Okay, sorry. We expect to be done on your block approximately 2 weeks, depending upon weather. Bullcrap.
Yeah.
Because you started a Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
The week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, no, you won't be. In general, Durr Heavy Construction LLC is working from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Any non-emergency work performed on a weekend or after hours will be communicated to residents within 48 hours also bullshit.
Yes.
They were out Saturday. Admittedly, they were just doing maintenance on the equipment.
Right, but we hadn't moved our cars, and we heard the backing up of one of their trucks, and so we got up early after a really late night Friday.
Yeah, after a really long, long day Friday.
Yeah.
We had to get up early Saturday because we heard the beep, 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 beep of them backing up the equipment. Like, oh, fuck.
It's like, great, it's raining. What can I throw on to go and make sure I don't have to move the car?
Oh, for questions and or concerns about this project, please contact Roadwork NOLA, and it gives a phone number and an email. Bullcrap, I've contacted the email multiple times lately without any response. Thank you for your continued patience. Also, bullcrap, I haven't had any patience.
Yeah. That went out the window a long time ago. And they are starting work at 7 or a little before, but they are ending before 5.
They're ending, I think they end roughly at 3.
Yeah.
It seems to be when they are ending.
Yeah.
And having worked on construction sites, I understand that. That's probably giving them time to get back and punch out.
Right.
So it's not that they're being lazy or bad or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just that don't pretend like you're going to be there at 5:30 every day if you're not.
Right. Just pointing out that that's another, you know.
Yeah, another issue.
Another statement in the letter that can be shown as false.
So, yeah, long story short, that started Monday. And it was kind of funny because we'd recorded the previous episode, 207.
Yeah.
And then we got the letter before I'd even had a chance to edit or do anything with that podcast.
Yeah.
And then they started work literally that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, next week, my aching asshole. I mean...
Yeah, because we thought we would have this weekend to go and get the wood, which, admittedly, we would have, but we didn't know it by the state of things on Friday.
Yeah.
And the lack of communication.
Well, and that's just it. The main problem we've had with everything with this construction has been the communication. We are very happy with the work the construction workers are doing.
Yeah.
The other side of Vivian Court looks amazing.
Right.
It's one of the best streets I've ever driven on, full stop, and our side will be, too. I have utmost confidence in that. The work they're doing is great, and I am happy our street's getting done.
Yeah.
It's been the complete lack of an ineffective communication about what's going on and when it's happening.
Yeah.
It's been insanely frustrating. Look, roll the clock back on this. Mm-hmm. We didn't first learn about the construction because we got a letter, because we got an email or a text message. The city has at least 2 of the 3 phones in this house are connected to the city government with our address.
Yeah.
I'm not wrong.
No.
They have a system here where they actually will send text blasts for emergencies, like when they did the Hard Rock crane collapse and when there's cold weather or when there's a heavy storm coming. They'll send out text blasts to the affected regions and say, hey, you can park in the neutral grounds, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it all works out great. They sent us nothing about this.
Nope.
No. Well, how I found out was I'd heard that there was this. I'm pulling up the letter again. Sorry. $7 million West Bank Group A road repair project. And I'm like, oh, what are they fixing? I'm curious. I had expected a lot of roads in Algiers Point. I was apparently astute on that observation.
Yeah.
And nothing near us. Where I was wrong.
Yes.
I was just expecting, but I saw that our road was on the list of things to be fixed. And it was marked with, quote unquote, incidental road repairs.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, okay, they're going to come. They're going to fill a couple of potholes.
Yeah.
And they're going to maybe cut out a few sections of concrete that are especially bad and put them back.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what their definition said.
Yeah, that's literally what the definition they had on their site said it would be. And then they tore out one section of Anson, which they had said they were going to tear out, and which, dear God, it needed it. The Mars rover couldn't traverse that section.
Right.
But then there's another section of Anson, which is marked for incidental road repairs, that they tore out.
Yeah.
And I went,
Yeah.
Is that what they're going to do to Vivian? Sure enough, 2 weeks later, they start on the other side of Vivian. It showed up, tore out the other side of Vivian without communicating with us.
Yeah.
We had no idea. And okay, sure, that's not in front of our houses, but it's still how we access the street, access Huntley and the rest of the neighborhood a lot of times. It still has a very major impact, especially since people who couldn't park on that side of Vivian were now parking on this side of Vivian.
Right.
So it had a pretty significant impact on my day-to-day life, and I never got a notice about it. Just a bunch of road equipment coming out and tearing shit up.
Yeah.
And then we had the whole back and forth. Were we able to open? And that whole thing, we documented that in the episode where we talked about we closed. I won't repeat everything. Long story short, every piece of information they gave me turned out to be wrong there, including you won't have a haunt. You know, you won't have a road come Halloween element of it. That turned out to be wrong. It's like every piece of information we've gotten from the city has been wrong.
Yeah.
It's been wrong, 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 wrong. And it's gotten so wrong that not calling it a lie has become challenging.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily I believe that they're deliberately lying to me. It's that I think they don't know. And rather than admitting they don't know, they're just making crap up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it feels. Anyways, the work started. We got all the wood we needed. We had a very stressful Friday. Because you're supposed to be getting ready for this headdress show on Black Friday.
Right.
A week from that day.
Yeah. And the other thing that we've been doing all weekend, which is getting a new site for me.
Yeah. Which is part of that. I consider that part of that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to be giving out cards and everything else there. So we're getting a whole new web presence for you for that show. Yeah. And long story short, this construction has made it impossible to focus. I know, too late. Has made it impossible to focus on what we need to be focusing on immediately.
Right.
So, yeah, we got the wood. We got everything taken care of. Dear God, that was a long, long day.
It was.
It was a super duper long day.
Yeah.
And like you noted, I mean, it was hilarious because we came in with a Home Depot truck and our driveway was blocked.
Yeah.
Did a block around. They'd unblocked it for just a second. Pulled in. They actually were moving to block it again.
Yeah.
After we'd unloaded all the wood. And we hauled ass to unload that wood.
Yeah, that was like 10 minutes. 10 minutes at the house, tops.
No, it's like 5 minutes, I think. Okay. I don't know how fast we were back. It had to be 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We unloaded the wood. And then we saw that we had a break in the road construction, and we Dukes of Hazzard. Have you ever done Dukes of Hazzard in a Home Depot truck? I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun, actually. We yee-hauled out of there. But yeah, so it has been a trying time for us as haunters and as human beings.
Yes.
I'm not even going to pretend. Luckily, finances and everything else aligned. It's just time is what we don't have right now.
Right.
We need to focus on this show you're doing this week.
Mm-hmm.
And focus on getting the site up, focus on getting everything ready. So then we can focus on the haunt.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's not happened.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Anyways, zen out.
Now we can get to the news.
Yes, I know. We're
it's
only
not on us.
Shut up. We're only 23 minutes in. It's a new record.
Yeah.
Yes, we can get to the news. But on that note, it is episode 208. It is time to do the news. And to that end, I will kick it off, I guess.
Okay.
Okay, first off this week, this article is by Doug Evans at Fox 5 Atlanta in Carrollton, Georgia. Chaos Haunted House is the subject of a very bizarre investigation.
Yeah.
They are searching for an arson suspect who apparently tried to burn down the haunt 3 times in one night.
Yeah.
This person is filmed multiple times going to a nearby service station, filling a can with gasoline, and then attempting to burn the haunt down. Now, none of the fires actually took. There was a room that was damaged. It was housing props and makeup. It was damaged, but they played it down like nothing was seriously destroyed or they were seriously impacted. So that's good. But yeah, they claim that the wooden walls may have just been too wet to catch fire. That's possible. But I would also remind people the gasoline is actually pretty trash at starting fires.
Yeah.
By itself.
Yeah, this is one of those crazy stories. It's like 3 times in one night. I mean, what did they do to you? Like, seriously.
You know, he should be burning down the person in the tattoo parlor that gave him those crappy tattoos, according to the surveillance footage. I would understand that grudge. I mean, he's covered in crappy tattoos.
No. But, yeah.
But, yeah, he basically, And here's the thing that's crazy. He had a getaway driver.
Uh-huh.
Meaning someone sat there in the car, watched him try to burn it down unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
Get in the car, drive him to a petrol station, go back, try again, fail again,
yeah.
drive him back to the petrol station, drive him back for a third run before
yeah.
finally giving up and naffing off.
Yeah.
Now, and this is a thing. We talk about fire code compliance and the importance of using fire retardant materials. When we talk about that, we are always talking about accident and obviously thinking about customer safety. But as a bonus feature, you're pretty arson resistant too, apparently.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just saying a well-planned, you know, fire retardant system is also arson resistant.
It is. Yeah. No, I completely agree with that.
And I think that probably actually is one of the reasons it was difficult to ignite was because it probably was built of materials designed to be fire retardant.
Exactly.
I mean, if you can't burn the items in your burn book, neither can an arsonist.
Yeah.
It's really
that includes your building.
It includes your building.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, I don't know. We heard about the story from Japes, and it's like, what?
Yeah. It's like, you know, there's got to be those stupidest criminals out there, right?
Why would you burn down a haunted house to begin with? That's such
right.
a weird thing to burn down.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you be dedicated enough to try to do it three times in one night?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Look, even if you don't like haunted houses, I can't fathom yeah. being this dedicated to it.
No, me either.
Anyway.
Okay.
Moving on.
Oh, you gave me the fun one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I like sharing
all
the
right.
workload.
So, this is where we are in the story of McCamey Manor, the news cycle, as Jonathan has noted before.
There's a definite cycle to these things.
Yes, we're at the petition to shut it down. The torture chamber in Lawrence County. The article's by Stephanie Langston of WKRN. And basically it has 133,000 signatures on change.org. It was launched by Frankie Tower. And it talks about consent issues, which people who know about McCamey Manor know that they have some consent issues.
I report on this not as it being news independent. Like, this isn't going to change a goddamn thing. Change.org couldn't even change a light bulb.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Change.org ain't anything. Nearly all of these signatories, I'm sure, are not from the area.
Right.
So they're free to ignore them completely. I wanted to point out where we are and how this cycle repeats itself every time. McCamey Manor, for reasons unclear to me, seems to become a news story and a fixture once every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Not sure why, not sure how it happens. It's like herpes. It just comes back
yeah.
randomly.
Well, I think that's part of, we've said it before, he's good at marketing. I think that that's part of his marketing strategy.
Yeah, but I don't know why it's like every 2 to 3 years. It goes quiet. Like, I think in the time we've been doing Haunt Weekly, this is the third cycle.
Yeah.
We pretty much started right at one. We had another one about a year or two in, and now this one. I think this is our third cycle.
Yeah, but I think that's because, you know, give people time to forget
yeah.
and then bring it back up.
Well, anyways, regardless, it's back now. And now the cycle repeats the same way. First is, the media goes gaga for the haunt that has a 40-page waiver and
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. And, ooh, it's too terrifying. No one's completed it. Not
yeah.
a haunted attraction. The industry experts have weighed in.
Mm-hmm.
la, la, la. And then the backlash happens. There's an initial backlash from the haunt community.
Right.
And then we're now at the backlash from the community.
Yeah.
Which has led to the change.org petition.
Exactly.
I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Now, they did add a few new deets, though, that I did not know. I have cared so little about McCamey Manor, I have not actually looked at their waiver.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, A, we've been over this 100 times before, and this is something they point out in the petition. A waiver at a haunted attraction is bull.
Yeah.
It is a waste of your time, and it actually hurts you legally.
Yes.
Seriously, go talk to your local BDSM community. I know that sounds like a weird place to talk about this, but talk to them about waivers.
Yeah.
because they're people who, you know, hit and, you know, quote unquote,
They play rough
and they do so with consent. And they have to address these consent issues, because what happens if someone says they were assaulted in the BDSM session?
Right.
And one thing they're all going to tell you is that a waiver doesn't help you. It just becomes exhibit A for the plaintiff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Literally. So waivers are stupid. But apparently the waiver is so poorly written. It says they are not liable, L-I-B-E-L, not liable.
Yeah.
Which are two very different words in legal speak.
They are.
Like liable is basically a form of defamation.
Yeah.
And liable indicates your legal culpability for something.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a pretty big fuck up, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. Pretty big fuck up. But yeah, no, this is where we are in the news cycle. This is going to be the end of this particular cycle. I expect McCamey Manor to go quiet in our news for about a year, maybe 2 years at least.
Yeah.
And then pick back up again, and we're just going to lather, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
I hate them so much.
Yeah.
My biggest regret right now is restraining Ellie from confronting Russell McCamey.
Yeah.
I regret that.
No.
Because, honestly, we could have just said, no, we don't know her. Let her get kicked out of HauntCon.
No.
Probably get him kicked out. Because, I mean, Ellie don't look like much, but she can be a badass when she gotta be. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. So, yeah, no, that's just where we are. That's basically the point of it.
Yeah.
That and their waiver is literally one of the funniest things on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to already being a terrible idea.
Yeah.
All right, next up this week, it's an article by Sierra A. Porter, the Des Moines Register. The Slaughterhouse has moved downtown and is already doing its first show.
Yeah.
Holy crap, guys.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Basically, the Slaughterhouse has moved to downtown Des Moines, right there in the heart of it. You can map it yourself. It's on 6th Avenue in the old Bank of America building. And they didn't start the move until November 1st.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They basically shut their doors Halloween and backed up the move.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
That is. And I mean,
holy crap. They didn't even do a lights out night.
Nope. They're like, see ya, in our new location, in like a month and a half.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And now, they're doing a Krampus of it, a Krampus Knot celebration, coming up very shortly. And basically, yeah, month and a half, they're opening up again.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't remember, this is the one that's also, the Slipknot is the co-founder.
The Slipknot, the drummer. Connections with Slipknot, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're moving downtown, doing a new event, a Krampus Knotten event. And I've got to say, the general admission tickets include a glowing Krampus Stein, like a beer Stein, and a Krampus beanie. And after the event, it's good for free refills at each full court press stop. Which, by the way, is beer. I had to look up what beverage is being consumed here. It is beer. So basically, you get beer.
That's what you would put in a stein.
You would, but then in full court press,
yeah,
doesn't scream beer to me.
No.
And I have been tricked. I have been dragged to places for brews, and they have tried to feed me coffee, and I was upset.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we found the one coffee shop in New Orleans that doesn't have booze.
And that's the other thing. Usually, if you drag me to a coffee shop, I can find alcohol of some kind if I so desire. And, yeah, we have found the one that doesn't have it.
Yeah, but they do plan on fully opening next year.
Yeah, so this is probably going to be just a partial event, but
right.
Dear God!
Maybe it'll just be a party to get you used to going to the new place.
But even to open in any capacity a major haunted attraction a month after moving.
Yeah.
That is an undertaking. Haha, undertaking.
Yeah.
I am deeply impressed by these guys. This is impressive. And I am now I had been curious about checking out the Scarehouse, the slaughterhouse, blah, 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 blah. Dear God, the Scarehouse is something different. The Slaughterhouse, but now I'm really curious.
Yeah.
You had my you had my curiosity. Now you have my attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, full opening in September of 2020. Good job, guys. Hope you like the new digs.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, next, Deceased Farm is going to reopen after a storm damaged the haunted.
Well, it has reopened by the time we're reporting on it.
Exactly. That was the headline. I was just reading the headline.
Yeah.
But no, basically, right before
Halloween.
So Halloween night, they had to close because of storm damage.
Yeah.
And it blew over some fencing, and the front of the house, it sounded like was leaning.
The front fell off.
Which,
to quote Monty Python.
Yeah, so the facade has...
I'm sorry, Deceased Farm. Yeah. It's coming. You had it coming, though.
Yeah.
It was coming.
Yeah.
Insert front fell off sketch here.
Yeah. So the facade had taken some damage. And so they, you know, the storm hit around 6:15, which is pretty damn near opening time. So, but the amazing thing about this story is not that it had to close for Halloween and damage, but that they had so many people show up to help them, they were able to open for their November 1st and 2nd days.
Yeah. And I checked out their site. The way they did it was weird. Since Halloween fell on a Thursday this year,
yeah,
their Halloween was actually a discount night.
Interesting.
Interesting choice. I can't say I support it, but...
Understand it.
Or I can't say understand it. Yeah, understands better. You're right. You're right. Yeah. I can't say I understand it, but hey, you do you. Whatever works. This is a part of the world, part of the haunt country that's very dear to us.
Yeah.
We got our haunt start here.
Yeah.
I got started home haunting in Irmo, South Carolina, which is not far from Lexington. Mm-hmm. These guys apparently opened in 2014, so they opened after we left.
Yeah.
But we've never been to this, because we've never been in South Carolina for Halloween.
Right.
Not since we moved out. But no, this is an area very near and dear to us. I started home haunting as a kid in Irmo, South Carolina. Our first pro haunting gig was at the Boy Scout Haunt.
Right.
There in, I think it was KC.
Yeah.
I want to say it was KC, South Carolina. So we know this region very well. We have been to Lexington many times. Well, you may be less than me, but
yeah.
I've been to Lexington many times.
Well, I didn't grow up in South Carolina.
No, I did. I remember playing soccer teams in Lexington.
No. Oh.
Yeah. When I was doing youth league soccer. That's a completely pointless fact I'm throwing out.
Yeah.
But this whole podcast is nothing but pointless facts, so why change now?
These pointless opinions.
Oh, God.
Not necessarily facts.
So, yeah, but no, you absolutely are right, though. They apparently had a bad storm Halloween day this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, literally, they open at 7.
Yeah.
So, 6:15, thought our Halloween season was rough. 6:15, the storm hits, downs a power line, blocks the driveway, destroys a bunch of their fencing, damages their facade, and they're partly, at least, an outdoor haunt, so a lot of their outdoor display got destroyed, too.
Yeah.
And then all the actors just pitched in, and they basically worked overnight.
Yeah.
Fully overnight. Got the haunt repaired and ready to open November 1st. I am impressed.
Yeah. So
once again, I'm impressed.
Yeah. If you went and saw them on November 1st and the zombies looked a little extra sluggish, now you know why.
It wasn't because they were drunk. It was because they were sleep deprived.
Yeah.
In fact, he said in the interview, the owner said that they won't be finished until 7 p.m. on November 1st.
Yeah.
And by the way, I know that finishing.
Oh, yeah.
I've been done at 7 p.m. on the opening night. I've done that. Basically, it means we're not actually done, but we're as done as we're getting.
Exactly.
Might have been there a few times.
Yeah.
So, kudos to the owners. Kudos to the actors. Kudos to everyone involved. Great job.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing work getting it back open. And, dear God, I hope you guys, all y'all slept really good November 1st.
Yeah, I hope so.
You needed it. You deserved it.
Yeah.
All right. Shifting gears a little bit here to Knott's Berry Farm, from literally switching coasts.
Mm-hmm.
Knott's Scary Farm reports record attendance despite the opening of Disneyland and Star Wars Galaxy Edge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was interesting. A lot of people were hypothesizing that when Disney opened a new Star Wars theme park,
right,
the Galaxy's Edge, that neighboring attractions were going to take a nasty hit.
Yeah.
Everyone was going to want to go to Disney and screw Knott's Scary Farm or whatever. Well, this article by Brady McDonald of the Orange County Reporter says that they, as of that writing, were on pace for a record year, despite the competition from Disneyland's new Galaxy Edge Peep Park. They were seeing a 6% estimated lift in attendance, and that their season passes, this is a Knott's Scary Farm, were up 50%.
Yeah. Which is insane.
That is nuts.
I mean,
nuts in a very good way, but yeah, nuts.
Great for them.
I love seeing Haunt succeed. This makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Star Wars actually resulted in a 3% decline in ticket sales for Disney. And the reason is because my understanding is, and by the way, I haven't fact checked this at all, but the last I'd heard is that Galaxy's Edge is not finished.
Yeah.
Several attractions, or at least some of the, at least one of them, are not open.
Right.
And a lot of people are A, expecting huge crowds, and B, waiting until it's done.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea. If I'm going to spend Disney money, I'd rather get the full show, you know?
Now, the best advice I can give anyone going to Disney is if you can stay on Disney property, do it. It's worth it. It gives you early access to parks. But then what you do is you find the parks that they have early access to, and then you go to a different park. Because basically everyone who stays on Disney property goes to that item, that park that day.
Yeah.
So it's like the very first day, I think, like when we did it, it was like Monday was Walt Disney World. We were doing the Florida version. And the next day was Epcot and on down the line. Yeah. And we're like, damn, Magic Kingdom's crowded. Damn, Epcot's crowded. Damn, it's all crowded. And then one day we veered off the path and went to another one and no one was there.
Yeah.
You got the park almost here. Something. Oh, well, everyone's going to the goddamn park to get the early admission to.
Yeah, and the we is you and your family.
And we, me and my family, not you and I. This was admittedly 20 plus years ago now.
Yeah.
So my information is not just out of date. It is woefully out of date.
Yeah.
But still, I'm sure they still do that with the Disney, because that's been a thing for a long, long time.
Right.
There's something like that. So yeah, if you can go to a park, do them in a weird, wonky order during the week is what I'm saying. But yeah, no, this is great news that they've been able to hold their own against this new attraction and still providing something people really want to see and are turning out for in record numbers.
Yeah.
So yeah, the point being in all of this is that the Galaxy's Edge has not hurt Knott's Scary Farm, not this year at least.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting next year if it's finished and fully open, if that has an impact. And if maybe this is just because people are like, well, it's not done, I'm not going.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
I don't think it is either.
I think that that's just a separate thing in the area you can do any time of the year.
Yeah.
It's not just a Halloween-focused thing. So I don't think it's going to impact it
as Disney
much.
Halloween is very different from Knott's Scary Farm Halloween. They're very different experiences.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a Halloween theme park experience, if you're tempted by Disney, you were never going to be interested in Knott's Scary Farm.
Right.
Those are two very different things. So they're not really even in direct competition with one another in that regard.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to have an impact, but it will be interesting to follow up next year.
Yes. Okay, so next is Snow White's Scary Adventures to undergo large-scale refurbishment at Disneyland.
Surprised it's still open. I'm not kidding.
Well, I was surprised that it existed at all, so there's that.
It was one of the original Disneyland attractions.
Okay, that's good trivia.
Which is why I'm surprised it's still open. All the others, I think, pretty much are gone, other than like teacups and a couple others.
Yeah.
I think teacups is original. I don't know.
The mansion's very early. But anyway.
Disney historians chime in the comments. Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter. Let us know.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it to talk to that.
Yes. I know some of you do, though.
Anyway, the Snow White Scary Adventure is going to undergo extensive refurbishment, including, according to permits, they're going to be replacing a lot of props and doing structural work, rock work, new projector platform, which, you know, if it is one of the original things that's there, it probably could use some modernization and updating,
And that's what it sounds like they're doing. It sounds like they're trying to digitize, I guess, a lot of this attraction from what they described.
Yeah. Have you ever been to this?
No. This is only in Disneyland. I don't think there's one in Disney. I don't think there's a counterpart in Disney World.
Okay. I was just wondering if it's actually scary, because it says it's scary. But
it's got in the name. I mean,
yeah.
And Disney wouldn't lie to anyone. Wink.
No.
Well, I don't know. Alien Encounters was still the scariest goddamn thing I've ever done, ever been on in my life. God, I'm so sad that is gone.
Yeah, so it's not on the official calendar yet, but it's expected to start soon.
This is from permits filed with the city of Anaheim,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not from announcements that Disney themselves have made.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I think it's a positive sign, though, because the fact they're refurbishing it means they intend to keep that attraction open a long time. You don't refurbish an attraction you're thinking about closing.
This is true. Does that also mean that they're planning on a reboot? Probably.
Well, okay, the fear is that instead of just doing a simple refurbishment of the ride, they're going to do what they did to Alien Encounters, which is convert it into a different attraction using right. the same thing, because they turned Alien Encounters into Stitch's Adventure or some bullcrap like that. So let's hope they don't do that.
Yeah.
At the very least. Mm-hmm. Now, this next story just lights me up.
Yeah.
So much. I had no idea this existed until I read this article.
Yeah, no, this is cool, and I would go to this.
I don't think we can. I don't think we're invited is the problem.
Yeah, I know.
If anyone knows anyone, this is your chance to really come through for us. But basically, the cast of the Lion King Broadway show mm-hmm. do a haunted house every year.
Yeah.
They do it the last, and this article, by the way, is by Ruthie Feierberg at Playbill. They do it every year. The last Saturday of October, they do it between the matinee and evening performances. So, like, I don't know when the matinee is. I'm going to guess it's like 2 or 3 or something. The evening's like 7 or 8 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have that window there. And in 15 minutes, they build a haunted house that has multiple rooms and is bi-level.
Yeah.
Obviously they're taking advantage of the existing infrastructure they have putting on a right. Broadway show, which is brilliant.
Yes.
Now, according to this article, it begins at stage level, travels through the ensemble male dressing room, the backstage area, one of the quick change booths, through the lower hallway to the female ensemble dressing room, and to the lobby. That's a pretty big haunt.
Yeah, it is.
For 15 fucking minutes in build time.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And it's put on for the kids and the families of the reporters. Basically, this happened because they all realized, oh, this Broadway play has legs.
Yeah. Exactly.
A few years into the run, they went, holy shit, we're never going to have Halloween with our kids.
Yeah.
What can we do? And they said, well, we just put on a haunted house between the matinee and the evening performance. And they throw it together. They plan it year-round, apparently, is what they described it.
Yeah.
It sounds like they start planning immediately, like a good haunter does.
Yeah, exactly.
They start planning immediately after they tear down, like a good haunter. And basically, they put it up, and then they bring the kids and the family and their friends through and anyone else they know.
Mm-hmm.
They go through the haunt, and then after the last people go through, they tear it down and put on the evening performance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds great. This is a great way to include Halloween in the families of the performers.
Yeah, because they're absolutely right. They're not going to get Halloween with their kids.
Yeah.
Because the life of a Broadway performer is either you're starving...
Yeah.
Or you're working every night.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and I hope that other industries look at this who have similar schedules.
Yeah.
And say, hey, we could do that.
Yeah. This is a great idea. It's really awesome. They're putting, of course, to use the costuming and the makeup that they have with this Broadway performance and the acting, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I know I say this at least once every news episode. This is the one you click the link on.
Yeah.
Please go to hauntweekly.com, find this episode 208, click the link about the Lion King.
Right.
Because it has a gallery of images from it. And the thing about that's crazy, it looks really good.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell it was a 15-minute haunt.
No, it looks like a lot of fun.
It does.
They put up those facades very fast. Well, it's not really facades. It's you know... Decorations.
They put it all up very quickly, yeah. And they tear it down very quickly. It is amazing stuff. And it reminds me a little bit of like home haunting back in South Carolina when my dad had the rule mm-hmm. that nothing could be up on November 1st.
Yeah.
I always hated that rule.
And nothing could be up on October 30th either.
No.
Your dad was kind of insane like that.
If basically I was allowed to start work the morning of Halloween if I was available.
Yeah.
If I were not, if I was not available for whatever reason, I had to start after school or after work or whatever.
Yeah.
That made it rough.
Yeah.
But hey, we did a lot in a very little period of time too there. So
yeah.
Now, long story short though, this is awesome. They do great work. It looks very creepy. And kudos to you guys for giving your kids an amazing Halloween that honestly, I know you're sad that you can't be there for traditional trick-or-treating and whatever. Mm-hmm. I understand. And believe me, I am sad for you. But you gave your kids and your family an experience no one else will have.
Exactly. I mean, that's a story for a lifetime.
Imagine your kids going to school telling that story.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Or as an adult. Oh, well, yeah, of course I went to
the Lion King haunted house. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
No,
they do that?
Is awesome.
Yeah, it is. All right. Our next story is an Orange County resident presents holiday lights on kid-friendly, non-scary family fun day. It's going to be held on December 21st. They are doing in
Orange, Connecticut.
Orange, Connecticut. Sorry, not Orange County. Your CTs.
I don't know how to spell Connecticut.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and we get so much from Orange County that
We had Orange County earlier than this. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So Orange, Connecticut. Bright Haven is offering lights on Family
Fun
Day. Who
does name their town Orange? Wait a minute. What are we going to call this lovely new town? Orange!
It's better than West we go.
That is true. You have a point. Okay, shutting dick liquor.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's going to be no scares. It's $10. It's a Frightmare Before Christmas seasonal attraction. They will be collecting canned food also for local people.
Yeah, this runs as part of their usual Frightmare Before Christmas. They do the Christmas haunt. But one night they open up and the lights on, no scare, bring the little ones. Honestly, if I were in the area, I'd be tempted to pay the money to go that night.
Yeah.
Just to see the lights on tour.
Yeah, and it's a noon to 2 p.m.
Yeah, noon to 2 p.m. It looks like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I wish more haunts did this, especially during season.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of haunts could do a limited actor 2-hour during the day, one weekend, like the Saturday before Halloween.
Right.
Lights on, no scare tour for the kids.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah. Well, there's the one in Alabama that we heard about at a HauntCon previously.
Yeah.
That would do the tiny monsters. Mm-hmm. So they would have their actors' kids dress up in the roles to be the monsters to scare other kids.
Yeah.
Which is adorable.
To expand upon that, I think they should flip the script. I think they should also have the actors go through the haunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be scared by the kids.
Yeah.
And tell the actors to overact, like the scare, like training the next generation of our actors.
Exactly.
You know, like mother tigers will exaggerate when they get scared by their pups or whatever.
Yeah.
That exact thing, but for humans.
Yeah.
But no, I love this. This tickles the cockles. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to see this. Now, we have a trio upcoming of profile pics, including the most awesome profile story ever covered in Haunt Weekly history, I think, coming up last.
Yes, I will agree with that.
I did not think you would disagree, considering it was your proposal.
Yeah.
And I get to introduce it, apparently. I did not intend that, but it is how it works. But anyways, the first one is an article by Hannah Sampson at Inside the Way. And basically, it's entitled Inside the Creation of Travel-Worthy Haunted Houses. It features interviews with the people behind Netherworld, Haunt World, the site, as well as Dent Schoolhouse. And basically, it talks about all the things that like we take for granted on this podcast. Like, of course you work on it year-round, and of course work's usually done by late summer, and, people don't know that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. Every time I introduce myself to someone new and talk about the haunted house and get excited, And then that's one of their questions is, when do you start working on it? Because they're like,
you mean I stopped?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, November 1st.
Yeah.
But no, technically, no, we typically, not this year,
no.
But typically what we do is we try to take off November and December
from
homework and then pick things back up in the new year.
Right.
Just because it's a good decompression time.
Right. Well, and last year we were going to start rebuilding immediately, but then we had HauntCon to think of.
Yeah. So and that's the other thing. With HauntCon being timing the way it is, we find it usually easier just to wait till HauntCon is over.
Exactly.
Because we have to let people through the haunt.
Yep.
And then January 18th, or whatever, you know, whatever day it's done, that's when we can start the teardown. But this year, it's going to be kind of the script is flipped because we're opening for HauntCon.
Yeah.
And then leaving it up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be interesting, folks. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never done this.
Nope.
So the haunt sucks this year. You know why?
Sorry.
We're off our feed.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's a very, very honest and very good portrayal of running a haunt in mainstream media. I liked this article. Everyone did a good job representing the haunt industry.
Mm-hmm.
It even though it mentioned Larry Kirchner.
Yeah.
It was a very good article.
Yeah.
So yeah, just so too. Worth checking out.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is by Saul Young of Knoxville at News Sentinel. A tour of Nightmare Walk, the Ellis family's homemade haunted attraction. Basically, this is just a home haunt. It's images from it that everybody in the family pitches in to make make it.
Hey, how big is this family?
Yeah.
They kept introducing new family members, like, late into this article.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big family from the looks of it. But they actually construct this. This isn't like us. We have a pre-existing garage we build in. They construct this.
Right. The tunnels.
The tunnels and everything. So, yeah. And they have indoor and outdoor portions. And it was a really cool looking haunt.
Yeah.
I'm always very happy, as a home haunter, I'm always happy to see home haunters get these kinds of profiles, because a lot of times, since we don't have marketing budgets, and since we don't have, you know, all the fancy stuff a lot of times, it kind of feels like, you know, we don't get the attention.
Yeah, and if we do, it's because people are shutting down home haunts.
Exactly, complaining
about
noise.
Because neighbors are complaining.
Yeah.
Or there's some kind of war between neighbors whatever.
God, yeah. Yeah, you either get the wrong kind of attention or no attention. It's nice to see a home haunter getting the right kind of attention.
Yeah.
This family looks sweet and amazing. I love them.
Yeah.
Please never change, you guys.
Yeah.
All right. The most awesome profile piece in haunting history.
Yes.
I'm sorry. This just cannot be topped.
No.
This is the peak. We've reached pinnacle here. This is it. The apex has been achieved. It is over. This is an article by the CBC News in Canada. Canada? Ooh! And specifically, it's from Newfoundland.
Right.
Which those of us who are Arrogant Worms fans go, double ooh!
Yeah, exactly.
Look up a knight in dildo. Just do that on your own time.
Yeah.
Just trust me, it's not dirty. It sounds dirty, but it's not dirty.
Yeah.
It's probably the cleanest thing I've said on this podcast. Anyways, senior citizens at the Witless Bay Retirement Home. Yes, Witless Bay Retirement Home.
Yes.
We're starting there. put on a haunted house for their family and their neighbors every year. And long story short, the senior citizens get together and they take about 400 children and guests as they go through. And it is designed to be a pretty serious and intense haunted attraction.
Yeah.
This looks like some pretty... Looking at that video, this looks like pretty hardcore crap here.
It does. It's like a ton of fun.
And the theme is that the patients of the retirement home have taken over. They've overthrown the staff. And they are now like full-on cannibal inmates running the asylum mode on this.
Mm-hmm.
And the cast members go... Basically, they range from like 75 to 99 years old.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking senior citizens here.
Yeah.
Senior citizens. And apparently they are so awesome and so loving this that they literally held a lottery to see who gets to go in the casket.
Yeah.
They had a casket. Someone had to go in the casket. And they literally had to have a lottery for who goes into it.
Because people wanted to
Everybody
get into it.
Everybody wanted it. Everyone wanted
to get. Not a lottery as a punishment. We should be clear.
Yeah, they were doing thumb war to see who gets the privilege of being in the casket.
Yes.
And there were senior citizens in kennels pretending to be victims.
Yeah.
Senior citizens pretending to be severed heads.
Uh-huh.
I now know where I want to retire.
Yeah, exactly. When I get old and feeble, send me here.
Oh, my God. And the thing that's so crazy is they put it on the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, maybe we'll get like 30 grandchildren.
Yeah.
They got 400 people.
Yeah.
That is a good load. That's a good... And the thing is, they're on Newfoundland Island.
Yeah.
They are properly on the island of Newfoundland, which is not very densely populated, and they're not in the populated segment of it. 400 people likely represents a significant chunk of the local population.
Probably.
I'm not even exaggerating. Yeah, they are on... Whitless Bay is on the east side of it.
Okay, so Newfoundland Island is actually... Let me check.
How many people are on Newfoundland?
On Newfoundland by itself.
Just Newfoundland, not Labrador, because Labrador is on the mainland, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Canadians.
Well, crap. This only gives me the one for both.
Yeah. How big is it for both, and we'll do both?
For both, it's 521,000 and some change.
For a state slash province, that's still not much.
Yeah.
That's like what, Minnesota, that's not Minnesota, that's South Dakota territory, you know? So, yeah, no, it's really interesting, and my God, I saw this video, you sent it to me, and put in our Haunt Link chat, and I was, like, tearing up as I was watching this.
Yeah, okay, so in Whitless Bay, though, there's only 1,600.
So, literally a quarter of the fucking town showed up?
Yep.
One out of every four people went through that haunt.
Yeah.
Motherfuck. That is awesome.
It is.
I am so happy right now. I can't even put it into words.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if the senior citizen listened to this and going, oh, that young man swears too much. I understand, I do. But I can't help it. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is great. And watching them and how much they enjoyed it.
Right.
I mean, you can see the joy in the eyes of everyone participate. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is just so endearing. You know what? Screw what I said earlier. This is the one you click on.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely watch the video. It's
definitely what. Actually, do go back and watch and look at the Lion King images, too. They're awesome. But you have to watch this one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are the ones where we can't do this one justice on a podcast.
No.
My God, it is so endearing and so wonderful.
Yeah.
But that's all we have this week. Honestly, we've run a little bit over, but that's okay. Because we had to do some bitching about the road work and some venting there. So that's what put us over. So this has been Haunt Weekly Episode 208, covering October, November news. We're doing
the news. You haven't set it up any time this podcast.
I did. I set it up in the beginning. You didn't come in.
You didn't set it up right.
I did.
Anyway.
Episode 208, doing the news. For October and November. You can find us at hauntweekly.com or hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We're also available on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts from. We should be there. Definitely check us out and subscribe for future episodes. And go to the Facebook and tell us all the ways we were wrong in this episode. I'm sure we have a lot.
Yeah.
But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next time for episode 209, which is not the news. But we're going to be doing something else. We have more great haunted attraction content coming your way. So stay tuned. We'll see you then.